All right. Well, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to all, and welcome to the Subteam for Additional Marketplace RPMs call on the 25th of August, 2017. In the interest of time, there will be no roll call. Attendance will be taken via the Adobe Connect room. So if you're only on the audio bridge today, would you please let yourself be known now? All right. Thank you. Hearing no names, I would like to remind everyone to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes, and please keep your phones and microphones on mute when not speaking to avoid any background noise. With this, I will hand the meeting back over to Paul McGrady.
Thank you, thank you, everybody, for what was a robust conversation last week. I was not able to get all the way through. I got about 85% through the transcript. I apologize for missing last week. We had a family medical issue that had to be dealt with, and I want to say a special thank you to Greg Shatton for stepping in last week to run the call as chair. It's inartful in its format, but we did have some responses on the list over the week to our action items. I think that our action items will be our agenda today. The action items were sent around on Monday, the 21st, from Mary at staff. I've put in the reactions that were on the list. There, I see Christine is on the call today. I don't see Kurt. But I think that if you did not see these on the listserv, if you could take a few minutes up front here to look through these and encourage us to be to make sure that we use the content that our list generates during the week as part of our discussions. So we have a skeleton crew today, but it is a Friday and a beautiful one, at least here in Chicago, in August. So I'm glad that we have those who came out, and it looks like our list is growing a little bit as we go. So I think that we have to essentially jump in here and try to determine, at least once and for all, the fate of some of these questions. Before I do that, however, I see that Kathy is on the call. Kathy, I know this to you every week, but any update from the main working group about their thoughts on the scope of what we should be doing? Just to reiterate, many on the call believe that our scope is to gather information about the additional marketplace rights protection mechanisms, while others believe that we should be, as a team, engaging in a substantive evaluation of those additional marketplace RPMs. That question was sent back up through the co-chairs to the working group. I apologize, I was not able to be on this week's working group call because of the aforementioned family medical issue. But Kathy, can you let us know, has that been sorted, and do we have an unequivocal mandate, or are we still operating under the scenario that we should limit ourselves to collecting information and we are still waiting for a substantive response? Thanks, Kathy. Please go ahead if you can.
Hi, Paul. Can you hear me?
I can. Thank you.
Okay, good. First, I hope everything's okay with your family. Sorry to hear, and I just hope everything's okay and going well. Sorry that it's taken us all summer to get to this and to get back to you. I believe there'll be a letter going out today or tomorrow to the working group from the co-chairs. We have to review it. We're reviewing it in about 2 hours, which I know doesn't help now. But I think staying on the track that we're on in terms of information gathering is the right thing for the sub-team. So I think kind of continuing the way we are is what will help the working group the most. And, if there are policy issues, it's probably for the larger working group. So I think the track we're on is a good one. Thanks.
Thank you, Kathy. I appreciate that. Clarification is helpful, and it's kind of it's a happy outcome because we don't have to go back to question number one, which is very good. All right. Well, great. So let's dig in here. The takeaways from last week's call for question six was for the sub-team to consider whether to retain the original question six, delete it, or revise it to limit its scope strictly to any data collection that may be needed. And if a revision is preferred, the sub-team to propose, edit, and finalize language for the rephrased question. I know this is a little bit redundant since we have it in the text, but I will read the two emails that we received on the list. They were thoughtful, and I'd like to have them into the record, and then I will open a queue on this. So from Christine Durain, question six, the question should be deleted. It's asking for a substantive review of the existence of additional marketplace RPMs, not data gathering to support Sunrise and claim statistics. It's unclear from the recording what the proponent of keeping it in thinks they're getting at by asking this. Registry contracts and what is required to be part of a registry contract are a sensitive issue, and this is not the forum to dig into that. Those requesting this information should provide a compelling reason for its inclusion. Informational purposes or might be interesting is not a compelling reason to dig into a contractual relationship that is not the subject of this PDP. Question six is a fishing expedition. Question seven, the question should be deleted. It's asking for a substantive review of the existence of additional marketplace RPMs, not data gathering to support Sunrise and claim statistics. The answer will likely be obtained as part of another question. That looks like I cut off the maybe the text fields are just not long enough. Let me see here if I can get to the it's asking for a substantive review of the existence of additional marketplace RPMs, not data gathering to support Sunrise and claim statistics. The answer will likely be obtained as part of question three, and question three is the right context because question three asks background questions about how these services operate to the extent that those that offer them are willing to provide that information as an educational service to the ICANN community. And with regard to question eight, this question should be deleted again. It's asking for a substantive review of the existence of additional marketplace RPMs, not data gathering to support Sunrise and claim services. And we know now that our remit is data gathering, not substantive review. So I think that is an important thing to keep in mind when we consider Christine's comments. And then from Kurt, I largely agree with Christine that these questions should be deleted. To elaborate slightly, question six, one test of what questions should be deleted is whether the answer would affect our analysis and answer. I do not see how the answer to this question affects our analysis of existing and potential RPMs. These additional RPMs exist regardless of how they have been approved. There is no reason to ask this question on the chance that it could lead to information that could be uncovered through a more direct data-related question. I think we have asked these data-related questions above. Question seven, similarly, if question seven is deleted, I don't think we would lose any data as it is already being collected elsewhere. Alternatively, this question might be narrowed and placed under question three as an additional bullet, e.g., what information do registries require for additional marketplace RPMs from the trademark clearinghouse, trademark holders, other sources? Question eight, similar to question six, I don't see how the answer to this question affects our analysis and can be eliminated. There are two other points here. First, the GPML and the additional marketplace mechanisms as currently are two different animals and should not be held out as equals in the premise to the question. The GPML targeted the top 100 to 500 brands, granting them automatic protections. The additional marketplace protections provided protections to any brand wishing to purchase them. Second, question eight is easily answered and does not require data collection. Adoption of services by individual registries do not upset or create new policies. In order for additional individually adopted RPMs to be violative of policy, the existing policy must prohibit them. Then the opposite is the case. I believe the Protection of Rights Working Group recommended that new TLDs adopt RPMs that were not required. Quote, that regardless of other authentication of legal rights, all new GTLDs should institute measures to deter abuse of RPMs and clearly false submissions. And Kurt was kind enough to provide the PDF link. Not as eloquent as Christine, but I agree. Thank you, everyone, Kurt. Okay, So I know that was a bit tedious, but I think that these are the comments from the list this week, and I think comments from the list are important to acknowledge, or else we won't engage in the list. And a lot of good work can be done on the list during the week if we want to do that. So let's see here. Getting caught up with the chat. Oh, Mary says they posted Christine and Kurt's comments on question six in the notes pods on the right. Phil Corwin says, reinforcing what Kathy just stated, co-chairs have a one-hour call at 2 p.m. today to deal with multiple issues, including scope of this work's team's responsibilities. We'll send a formal statement. Okay, so Phil's comments don't relate specifically to questions 6 through 8 other than that the framework we should be looking through is data collection rather than substantive analysis. All right. Boy, that was a whole lot of setup. Thank you all for your patience with me as I sort of reset the table now that I'm back. I would like to open a queue on questions. We'll start with question 6. And I know that we hashed this out quite a bit on the call last week. We may do some more hashing. There were two responses that I just read on the list. The two responses for question 6 were essentially, it can be deleted. Okay, so Kathy Kleiman, your hand's up. Please go ahead.
So this is Kathy, and like others, I've been on vacation this week, so have not been able to engage in the list. I came back specially for you, Paul, and this subteam.
Thank you, Kathy.
So, you're welcome. I wanted to say, from a data-gathering information perspective, this question does seem to be important, but perhaps boiled down to its essence. It's a very important question, I think, for the working group to know, and we'll be asked it, so we may as well ask it. The subteam will be asked it of the working group, which is how private rights protection mechanisms are approved. And clearly, we exist as a subteam, and these questions exist because there's an overlap, and this seems to be a critical part of the overlap. No one seems to be able to answer it either. There seem to be different ways that the approval of private rights protection mechanisms is done. So just understanding that, gathering that data, understanding that those processes, because I don't think it's a single process, this seems to cover a critical missing data element for the working group. Thanks.
Thank you, Kathy. Can I ask a question back before David speaks? And that is, is asking the question, how are private rights protections approved? Is that a question for the registries who offer these additional marketplace protections, or is that a question that could be put to ICANN?
I would think ICANN, because we're looking for procedural answers, but probably both, since we normally go out to every available source of data for this kind of thing. So, I don't see why the answer would be both, but I definitely keep ICANN in the loop on that. Thanks.
All right. Thank you, Kathy. Next up is David. David, please go ahead.
Excuse me. Thanks, Paul. David McCauley here for the record. I agree to a great extent with what Kathy just said, but I understand the concern with the way question 6 was formed and the notion of approval. I think I'm largely in agreement with John Nevitt, who unfortunately is not on the call right now. John and I had some differences, but I think largely we agreed that there may be an appropriate need to get some information about some of these additional protections to the extent that they may have or conceivably could have an impact on the security, stability, and resiliency of the DNS. And so in that respect, it could be relevant and pertinent data collection. And I think Kurt even said, you know, data collection may be appropriate. So it seems to me the question may be formed, not necessarily in the correct manner, but that some information about these would be germane and could be collected. I had hoped to work on a statement, but like Kathy, I've been gone and have only come back this week for meetings, and that'll be the same next week. So, anyway, I just wanted to say I think there could be a restatement of the question that makes sense. Thank you.
Thank you, David. Next up, we have Christine. please go ahead.
Thanks, everyone. This is Christine. I'm going to watch the chat a little bit. I have a new headset, so I hope everyone can hear me. I did talk a little bit to John Nettet earlier this week. I know he's in agreement with my email. I want to bring up a couple of things again in response to Kathy and Dave. First of all, if you recall, the reason we're even here, the reason we've even asked these questions is because we want to find out what the statistics and the numbers of these sorts of services are doing to impact the way Sunrise and Claims are working and the way that those services are operating and the level of participation in those services. These questions get far deeper into the structure of registry operations that is completely unrelated to the data that we're supposed to be gathering for the Sunrise and Claims RPMs. The way that a registry service gets approved, or why or how it gets approved, is completely irrelevant to the numbers of people participating. So Kathy mentions it's important. My follow-up to that is why and for what? Who says it's important? How is it important? What is the data that we need to be gathering? I'm going to move my mic away because Greg says that I'm a little loud. And maybe I'm just so used to yelling because my old mic doesn't work. I'll just try talking quieter. She says people will ask. Well, people ask a lot of questions in ICANN meetings every single day, and these are questions to which they may be entitled to an answer or they may not. But we don't have to give people data simply because they ask for it if they're not entitled to get it. It's unrelated, and I think we need better questions than it's important and people will ask. To David's comment, he talks about, you know, we may have questions about the security and stability of the DNS. Well, that's ICANN's job. If an RCEP was requested, that is the question that ICANN is looking for if there was an RCEP. If there wasn't an RCEP and somebody really thinks that there's a problem with security and stability, then they need to submit a complaint to ICANN, and ICANN will look into that. That's not for this PDP to look into. We're looking at RPMs, not the security and stability of registry services. And then David mentions we need it might be germane. I still don't know germane to what. So I'm hoping that people can answer some of these questions for me. I really appreciate it because I'm getting a lot of vague, it's important, it's critical, we need to know, but nobody's explained to me in what data collection process this information is relevant. Thanks.
Thank you, Christine. Greg, you're up next. Please go ahead.
Thanks, Greg Satin, for the record. I do share Christine's concerns, but also think that perhaps there is an appropriate data collection question buried in here somewhere. You know, part of it is the problem with the way it's phrased. I think Mary may have offered a different phrasing in the notes, but I haven't had a chance to look at it. I think, you know, a concern is that this is being used to gather data for a challenge to marketplace protection in this or some other forum. And while it's anybody's prerogative to challenge anything they want pretty much in the world, not their prerogative to use this group for that exercise. Nonetheless, if what we're trying to do is understand the facts of how the marketplace protections worked in the prior round, it would be part of that overall understanding is whether they were submitted to ICANN for approval, and if so, under what method. But the question needs to be phrased in a more definitively historical what happened type of context, and not with this implication that we're trying to drive future policymaking or investigations. So it's a bit of a, I don't know if I have the ideal answer to Christine about why it's important, but I think in trying to understand kind of just how these worked including how they work in relation to ICANN. You know, it seems to kind of flesh out the situation, whether it's really necessary in order to understand how they work in relationship to RPMs or to registrants. Maybe it's not necessary, and maybe while it's kind of a curiosity, it may be useful to some other exercises. Maybe, in fact, it isn't useful to anything we're actually trying to do. Now, we're not trying to create a complete history of marketplace RPMs. We're just trying to understand what they are and how they relate to the RPMs that are, in fact, within our remit to make policy recommendations on. So not sure if that is anything definitive, but I think ultimately I probably plumped down where Christine does. Thanks.
Thank you, Greg. Next up we have Phil. Phil, please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, Paul. And Paul, I'm glad to hear that your brother's doing better and that you're able to be back with us.
Thank you, Phil.
On these questions, I would agree question 8 probably doesn't belong. This is strictly a policy question. It has nothing to do with impact on use of other services, use of the TMCH or anything else. It's strictly a policy question. Whether it's germane or not should be reserved to the full working group. On 7, I don't know why, you know, so I think if private RPMs are rooted in TMCH data, again, I'm kind of surprised by all the pushback to have basic questions answered about a basic understanding about the interrelationship of these RPMs with the private protections. And on 6, the question arose from an observation that some blocking services had sought RCEP review and approval and others had not, which raised the question, was there some substantial difference between them, a qualitative difference that would involve ICANN in reviewing some but not others, or was that strictly an abundance of caution for the ones that were put in for review? But I think how this relates to our overall duties, just understanding what, if any, review is required or what analysis is used when a private RPM is submitted for RCEP review at the discretion of the registry operator. I think we need to keep in mind we're looking at this, but our ultimate recommendations and understanding of the whole marketplace, the ICANN-mandated protections and the private protections, is not just looking backwards, but looking forward. This could affect, we don't know yet because we haven't looked at detail at the DPML services. I don't know whether there are DPML services available that allow one trademark owner to block a term to the extent that another trademark holder with rights in the same term for different goods and services could not register a domain at any of the covered TLDs, even if they wanted to do so for proactive purposes. Also, what if, you know, we're going to review the impact of the claims notice on registrations and whether it should be changed, whether it should be altered. You know, what if in the future a private registry operator said, we'll offer a trademark claim service past the due date, you know, past the mandatory date, if you pay us to do it for all the marks you tell us to do it for, which covers every possible type of non-exact match, and which has our own wording, not even the ICANN wording or the modified working in the future. So I think, you know, I agree we don't want to interfere with the offering of these services, but we also have to have some understanding of what's going on here. Otherwise, we're really being silent about what might be offered in the future. And I guess one point of view is that registry operators can do anything they want, and if a trademark owner is willing to pay for it, that's okay, but it could affect other trademark owners adversely, and it could, impact other folks. So I get back to my, what is the basic fear of just understanding why some DPMLs or other services were submitted for RCEP and others weren't, and what standard ICANN uses. That's it. I'm not falling on my sword on this one, but I thought it was important to state that. Thank you.
Thank you, Phil. Next up, we have Christine. Christine, please go.
Hi, thank you. This is Christine again. I think that maybe it's being mischaracterized as a fear. I don't think it's a fear as much as I'm very much concerned about scope creep. I know that this PDP is well past its time. Looking into sort of digging into those and the whys that way a registry operator gets allowed to do one service or another is just outside the scope. And it's a slippery slope because other things are very easily getting pulled into this. I mean, we want to now I just heard somebody saying, Phil mentioning the, what if a registry wants to offer a trademark plus a descriptor? And there's nothing in any of the RPMs that prohibit that. Registry operators put limitations on who can register domain names all the time. There are geos, there are communities, and there are, PLDs like .bank and .pharmacy that have very strict restrictions on who can get in and what terms they can register. And that's okay. And if there's a big global problem with that, then maybe that belongs in subsequent procedures for, should that kind of stuff be allowed in the next round. But that's not within the scope for a review of rights protection mechanisms that were the result of ICANN policy. And so we could spend weeks and months trying to figure out how each DPML offering, got their permissions and what they allow. But really, we're trying to get at is the data we need to keep going with our sunrise and claims analysis. That's what we're trying to do, is move forward. And so I feel like this is just getting, we're being sidetracked. Look at the jingly keys instead of moving forward on the review we're supposed to be doing. Thanks.
Thanks, Christine. Greg, your hand's up. Please go ahead.
Thanks. It's Greg. I'll be brief since Christine said a lot of what I would have said. I don't think we need to question the validity of those questions in the universe, but I do question the validity of those questions in the universe of this working group, the questions that Phil raised. I think any question that is forward-looking, what if, as soon as it begins with what if a marketplace RPM does this, we've gone out of our scope. Doesn't mean that you're going to get purged and sent to Siberia for asking the question. It's not the place to ask it. I think we need to stick to fact gathering and to kind of what happened and not delve into whys and wherefores. But I think it will take us even further off track. But I don't think it, provides information that's germane to the task at hand as much as, curiosity creeps in. It's the very lure of curiosity that is at the base of mission and scope creep, putting aside, any other darker motive. Where humans are just naturally curious. That's why so many of us get electrocuted. Thank you.
Thank you, Greg. Kathy, your hand's up. Please go ahead.
Absolutely. Thanks, Paul. Can you hear me? I'm in a different location now.
We can.
Okay, great. So, look, the question number three, by way of reference, question number three says, what are each registry operator's goals for each type of additional marketplace RPM it offers? That's how it opens. So question number six seems to be the very logical extension of what's the approval process. At a very high level, what's the approval process for this type of private RPM? This is not, I wish Jeff Newman were here. To the best of my knowledge, this is nowhere within the scope of subsequent procedures right now. This is, you know, immediately adjacent to what our working group is doing. It doesn't seem like it's going to take us far afield. We're talking about portfolio applicants that I believe, you know, are likely to follow the same process for private RPMs across dozens, even hundreds of new GTLDs. It's a data gathering question with, you know, some security and stability ramifications. I just don't see what the harm is or the danger of going far afield, because my guess is the answers are probably pretty straightforward. Thanks.
Thank you, Kathy. Mary, from staff, I see your hands up.
Sorry, this is Rebecca on audio only. Rebecca Tashnet, can I go after Mary?
Rebecca, why don't you go first, and then we'll hear from Mary. Thank you.
Okay, didn't mean to cut Mary off, but I just wanted to respectfully disagree with the idea that we don't need to know the whys and wherefores. The point of this inquiry is to figure out, which of the RPMs are working, or are the RPMs working? And if you don't know the why of the situation, then you won't know if it's the RPMs producing the result or something else. I think understanding the way the entire system works is important to diagnosing what is actually happening. Thank you.
Thanks, Rebecca. Mary, please go ahead.
Thanks, Paul. Hi, everyone. This is Mary from staff. And in looking at all these questions and trying to capture the comments and the ways forward, staff took a look again at the actual question 6. And one noted earlier, you know, who's this question addressed to? And I think it was Kathy who said it's addressed to ICANN. The question actually says, you know, what approval process from ICANN is required to offer these protected mark services. And I just wanted to take a step back and basically say that when you're talking about the RCEP, for example, that is something that registry operators have to send in to ICANN when they are intending to offer new registry services. For obvious reasons, there isn't this single overarching universal list of what may or may not constitute a new registry service. So from the ICANN perspective, it's almost like a case by case. We get an RCEP and then we look and see whether it is or is not a new registry service. So similarly, since the additional marketplace RPMs, and in this case we're talking about protected marks lists, are not, you know, mandatory services, that they're offered on a voluntary basis by some operators. They don't all, you know, do exactly the same thing. I'm not sure that by asking the question in this way that we would actually get at some of the factual information that some members are thinking that we want from this question. So this is not so much a staff opinion as to how RCEP works or whether or not you should retain this question or rephrase it. We're just thinking that the way it's phrased now, the answer itself may not be terribly helpful because there just isn't this single rule of what is a protected marks list service, what is or is not a new registry service. I hope that's helpful to everyone. Thanks, Paul.
Thank you, Mary. And I think that it does, that information does sort of lead me back to the question that I initially asked Kathy, which is, who is this question addressed to? It seems like, to the extent that there is an answer, that is something that would be within the four corners of ICANN's ability to answer that. I don't know that putting it to registry operators is going to get us much, except for contractual interpretation responses, if they're even willing to do that, whereas ICANN may be willing to do that. I'm not sure. Christine, your hand's up. Please go ahead.
Thanks. And maybe, yeah, I'm looking at Phil's comment in the chat, and I'm listening to Mary and Paul, and I want to maybe take a step back, because maybe what's happening here is a misunderstanding of the process. The registry operator makes a business decision regarding whether, and a legal decision about whether or not they are offering a service that requires an RCEP.
Then they go through the RCEP process, submit the RCEP to ICANN, who looks for security and stability concerns. If there are none, the contractual amendment is issued. That's generally the outline. So if you want to know how the RCEP process works, posted a link in the chat. ICANN, as Mary pointed out, does not have an itemized step-by-step list of if you would like to do X, you need. It is a business and legal determination that each service provider makes. And so what here you would have to be asking are registry operators to disclose to you their rationale for their business and legal decisions. If the group has decided that they want to throw that question in there, there's nothing mandates the registry operators who are already volunteering to answer these questions from disclosing their business and legal considerations. And maybe that's part of the problem, is just how the process works. Thanks.
Thank you, Christine. From the chat, Phil Corbin says, I do see it as a question for ICANN. Mary, do you believe staff could recast it in a manner to yield useful data? Mary is typing, and so Mary's hand's gone up, even better. Thanks, Mary. Please go ahead.
Thanks, Mary. I was almost thanking myself. Sorry. Thank you, Paul and Phil. This is probably faster than typing. And I should say that, you know, obviously I'm not in the department that deals with RCEPs, but Christine's page link will show you how that process works. And there is a manual that tries to explain that workflow better. In response to Phil's question, in listening to the conversation, it seems to me, and correct me if I'm wrong, that the sort of basic question that a lot of folks would like to know is whether ICANN requires that a registry operator put in an RCEP request prior to offering any form of protected marks list services. Again, I'm not GDD staff, but from the way that I understand how RCEP works, I suspect the answer to that question, you know, would be no, we don't require that because we don't know what those services are. And unless and until we get an RCEP outlining the proposed service, and that proposed service could be within RPMs, or it could be something completely different, it could be a departure from the original business model as outlined, you know, unless we get that request, we won't actually know, because then the evaluation only happens at that point in time. So we can think about recasting the question, but like I said, again, if you're asking ICANN if we have a requirement that anything within this list, because it is within this list, you must submit an RCEP, then that the answer there is no.
Thank you, Mary. Greg, your hand's up. Please go ahead, Greg.
Thanks, Greg Shatton. I think maybe the question to be asked here in terms of pure fact gathering is, which marketplace RPMs were submitted for RCEP approval, which I think is probably published somewhere, and which marketplace RPMs were submitted to ICANN for some other form of approval. And that maybe that's the sum total of the question here in terms of fact gathering, because it seems to me, you know, pretty obvious enough that there's kind of a judgment call being made here, and you know, it's not the question of this group to question or even to delve into the judgment call about whether a particular marketplace RPM falls within the RCEP process or not. So I think the fact of what happened, again, are really all we need to know. If we even need to know that. Thanks.
Thank you, Greg. Can I call for a refreshed cue on Greg's reformulation of this question? Acceptable as is. Don't like it. Okay, but here's a tweak. Need to think about it, Kathy Kleinman says. Okay, well, let's actually do that. if staff could capture Greg's revised question six, and we'll put it out to list, just because we are, you know, we spent a lot of time just on question six, and let's look at Greg's proposed revised question six, and we will open it up to the list for comment, and hopefully on our next call, put question six finally to rest one way or the other. Okay. Oh, David, I see your hands up. David, please go ahead.
Thanks, Paul. David McCauley for the record. If I'm not mistaken, I think Mary indicated that staff had taken a stab at reformatting or reformulating question six. And so when you put Greg's out to list, I would suggest putting staff's as well in a clean form, you know, without all the markings and what we have with track changes. So we could see both of them. Thank you.
Thanks, David. A great suggestion. And I'd like to ask staff to do that for us. Phil Corwin says Greg's suggestion is useful. Great. Okay. Shall we soldier on then to question seven and see if we can – Mary Wong says, actually, staff didn't touch the question. We only offered a more limited rationale for the question. Okay. So there's no staff reformulation. There is a Greg Shatton reformulation, and we will see that under action items on the list this week, and hopefully we can use that as our starting point to wrap up discussion of question six on the next call. Let's move on to question seven, and I will just open a queue on where we are on question seven. Anyone would like to go ahead and kick that off? If we could see some raised hands. Right now, the pushback from the list over the week was question seven should be deleted. Kathy, please go ahead.
Hi, Paul. Hi, everybody. It's Kathy. And I think the other proposal was that question seven should be added to question three. And so I wanted to support that we make this a bullet point or subpoint under question three in terms of the data that's gathered by the registry operator from the TMCH or the trademark holder, because it may be data from the TMCH through the trademark holder through the registry. So just supporting the suggestion I saw out there that I put in my notes to be added to question three. Thanks.
Paul, did we lose you?
I'm sorry. I was on mute and talking to myself, and I was brilliant. Sorry about that. Let's see here. So I was just calling for any reactions to what Kathy had to say or question number seven is written. I see we still have this bracket around or the trademark holder. That's a carryover from the last call. And I heard a little bit about that on the recording, but if folks would like to speak to that, Kathy, your hand is still up. Is it old or new?
Oh, wait. Let me just, to Mary's question, I'm not sure what the question means, but I think a third bullet point under question three, Mary, could put question seven, that data gathering part, as part of the general data that we're gathering. I don't know if that answers it. I'll try to type more in the chat. Thanks.
Thank you, Kathy. Christine, please go ahead.
Thanks. This is Christine. Yeah, so my suggestion really was that if you look up to question three, second bullet point, what do registry operators impose as a condition for using protected marks lists, e.g. blocking services? For example, do they all use the valid SMD file contained in the TMCH database? That's where that sort of connection to seven is. What use do they make, how much, and what manner of use from, you know, trademark clearinghouse data, such as the, you know, or the trademark holder. I mean, and that would be such as the SMD file. So I think if you just, you know, broaden bullet point number two a bit, such, you know, because for example is just an example. So do they use the SMD file contained in the TMCH database, other TMCH data, or information from the mark holder themselves?
you know, and that could just be it. Again, the question is just, you know, there is a suggestion for the types of data that we are wondering about, but it says, for example, that was my suggestion, that we just kind of merge the two.
Thanks, Christine. Kathy, before we hear from Phil, Kathy, if we brought some of the content out from question seven, like Christine suggested, and enhanced question three, and then retired question seven, does that address your concerns?
Thanks for asking, Paul. I'm looking at question three now. I think I'd break it out as a third bullet point there, just as a separate data gathering line. I'm not sure that's what Christine suggested, but I think for ease of following it, it does seem to be a little different than the other bullet points. So, but yes, if we merge it up to three, maybe as a third bullet point, I think that would do it. Thanks.
Okay, thank you, Kathy. Phil, your hands up.
Yeah, thanks, Paul. I'll be brief. Yeah, I support consolidating seven with three in some manner, and I think what we're looking for here is data, facts, not judgments on the facts, and not inquiry into proprietary business information. So, you know, let's find out which of these private RPMs require an SMD file, you know, or other data from the clearinghouse, and understand what data is in there. I think we can draw our own conclusions from, you know, other than verifying a valid trademark, how, you know, the service might be based in that. But I agree, asking registry operators to tell us exactly how they use such data might, at the least, elicit fierce resistance about giving away trade secrets. Thanks.
Thank you, Phil. So it sounds to me, before I say the it sounds to me part, any other comments on question number seven and the proposal to merge parts of it into question number three and retire it? All right. Seeing no hands on that, it sounds to me like there is a rough enough agreement here that we should do that. So I'm hoping that staff will be able to send us a revised – oh, David, thank you for the green check mark. I'm hoping that staff will be able to send us a revised question three for us to give a quick look at on our next call. And we will, assuming that turns out wonderfully, we will mark question seven as deleted. And I think that that is some forward progress. Great. Okay. Question, still your hand still up. Is that an old hand or a new one?
It's old.
Okay. Thanks, Phil. All right. So last call, question number seven. Okie doke. All right. Moving on to question number eight. There's a proposal to delete question number eight. Again, the comments on the list over the week were essentially this should go. This is a policy-driven question, not a fact-driven question. I'm going to reserve my thoughts on that and hopefully hear from working group folks instead of me. So I will open a queue on question eight. Is it... in light of our clarified mandate of fact collection, is question number eight appropriate for us to move forward with? Kathy, please go ahead.
Okay, I've got this innovative idea. This is Kathy, of course. How about we move this, instead of a proposal to delete, we move this to a new section that says, and title it, not within the scope of the subteam. That way, we don't delete it. It's still there, but we don't deal with it. And if the working group wants to deal with it later, if it's within the scope, it's a placeholder for future discussion because it was part of the original questions, but it's outside the scope of the subteam. It's not part of our data gathering. So just kind of a proposal to bump or to punt or not to deal, come up with the best creative title. Thanks.
Thanks, Kathy. So unlike other questions that were just deleted because they were reformatted or moved around or ultimately decided were not we shouldn't ask the question. This one would be sent back up essentially in the cover email. In addition to the attached questions, which we all agree should be asked, question number eight, ill-fated question number eight, we decided was not within our scope, but we're sending it back to you. Okay, is that right, Kathy? Is that the idea? Okay. All right. Greg, your hand's up. If you could respond to either question number eight in its absence or Kathy's idea about what to do with it, I'd appreciate it. Please go ahead. Please go ahead.
Thanks. Kind of a response to both. I don't think this question's in the remit of the working group, much less the subgroup. So sending it up from this group, I think it implies something about how this group feels about it that's a little more positive. I think obviously anybody can be free to raise this question in the group, but I think it should be raised there fresh. It won't get lost. It's not going to be deleted and wiped from everybody's memory, but I don't think it belongs in our document any more than any other deleted question does, and maybe even less. I think it's going, you know, to questions that are not ours to ask in this working group. Thanks.
Thank you, Greg. Christine, your hand's up. Please proceed.
Thanks. This is Christine. I fully support what Greg just said. I don't think that we're there's. I think we want to make sure that we remove the outside of the scope questions or comments. It doesn't make any sense to leave questions that are outside the scope. If different group members wish to make a note in there for when that, you know, when that discussion comes to the working group and raise that, I think that's one thing. But this is sort of the official question document, and I don't see any place for leaving outside the scope questions in that document. Thanks.
Thanks, Christine. Any other comments on question eight or Kathy's proposal of retaining it in our document? Okay. Well, I'm sympathetic to the idea of question eight of finding a home somewhere if somebody thinks it's a good question that the working group needs to ask. But I do tend to believe that this document should contain our official questions and that we should not muddy the waters on including questions that we don't think we should ask that were outside the scope of this agreement. So I think that since there's no one fighting to substantively to retain this question, that it should be deleted. And if anybody on this call or anybody familiar with the list of questions that the co-chair sent to us originally to consider would like to see that this question resurface, I think that the working group process is very porous and there are opportunities to do that. So that's current thinking. Kathy, I see your hands up. Please go ahead.
Paul, I'm going to suggest that we send this out to the group to discuss a little more because the idea, you know, it's coming from the three co-chairs, and the idea that we're deleting it without leaving some place for it to go and without leaving a note that's been deleted, without leaving a note that we could not consider part of the data gathering, I think there's a real question as to what is within the scope of the working group, and that's outside the scope of the subteam. It's here. We wouldn't delete something from the charter. If we didn't address it, we'd send it back to the working group. In this case, I think it's important to expressly send this back to the working group as something the subteam chose not to address. Thanks.
Thanks, Kathy. A point of clarification, if you don't mind, did you say it came from the charter itself?
I'm not sure exactly where this question came from, but had it, were we in a different subteam and had it come from the charter, we wouldn't just delete it, right, if we decided it was outside our scope. So in some subteams, we actually punted a question from one subteam to another. It was a question that came, it came to the trademark claims that was really a Sunrise question, so we sent it to Sunrise, but we didn't just drop it. And so here, too, the idea of just dropping a question that's come in because we decided it's outside our scope and potentially outside the scope of the working group, but that's a question outside our scope, means that we should flag it and just say this was not within the scope of our data gathering, not delete it, but flag it and send it back because I'm not sure about the efficacy of just deleting it. So that's one thing, we just flag it. And for the reasons that others have outlined, but not to let it disappear completely. Thanks.
Thanks, Kathy. I just wanted to make sure that this question was not in the initial charter of the main working group. This question came from the three co-chairs, I believe, and the three co-chairs, I think, are in pretty good position to reintroduce this to the main working group if they would like to do that. So I'm a bit hesitant to create a new section in our questions for questions that didn't make it. However, we're completely out of time, and this is not a this is something that we can take up on the next call. Let's all give it some thought over the list. I see that Mary has proposed a potential way forward by putting it at the end with deleted as outside the remit of the group but archived for working group information. Let's consider that over the week. Let's add that to our action items, if you don't mind, so that we capture it and we can all respond to it on the list. Thank you all for a robust conversation. It's terrific to be back. And I look forward to talking with you guys on the next call, but certainly all through the week on other things. Thank you all.